Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily. In this season, we will be having a rotating roster of co-hosts. No matter who's sitting beside me in the hosting chair, we're still just two people trying to live our best diabetic lives. Every week, we'll tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we may offer tips and tricks, we are not medical professionals. However, we offer anecdotes and general thoughts on how to embrace a type 1 lifestyle on your own terms. It's not easy to do with all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to. Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pal. Emily here, and this week's special co-host again is the lovely Alex. Hey Alex.
Hey.
For those of you that didn't listen to last week's episode, Alex was a co-host then, so I very much recommend that you head back to last week's episode. That was season 4, episode 4, I believe, where we talked to the lovely diabetic cactus, aka Sarah, and her mother, who I'm obsessed with. But this week's topic, and we're super excited to have Alex back with us, is all about traveling internationally, because we asked you guys what you wanted to hear and this is what you wanted to hear. So that's about as simple of an explanation as you get.
Give the people what they want.
That's what we try to do here on Pancreas Pals, and tell them the truth while we're doing it. So Alex travels a ton for work. Do you want to tell the people what you do in your outside of your diabetes life, Alex?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So I work for WeWork, which is a company that builds communities for, it used to just be kind of primarily small businesses, but now businesses of all size. So whether you're, you know, a freelancer or a startup, just kind of, you know, starting up as startups do. I was trying to think of a synonym, but none came. Or kind of a large enterprise, the idea is that we will provide the space, services, and community you need to run your business and meet other amazing people as part of the community. So my role specifically is I'm a product manager, so my team builds software, and I travel a lot because my manager actually lives in Tel Aviv, so I go see her and some of our team members there quite often, and WeWork just takes its employees on like some amazing travel opportunities. You know, we have like all company summits and a summer camp thing. So it makes sense.
It does.
So now that we're an international company, when we try to bring all employees together, it's not always in the United States, which is awesome. But obviously, as a diabetic, can be a little stressful. So I hear you, whoever requested this topic. It's real.
She shall not be named, mostly because I don't feel like looking it up right now. So if you're listening, I'm so sorry, but you know who you are.
We love you.
But truly blessed. But traveling with diabetes is definitely something we've covered pretty extensively on the podcast, because obviously it is definitely a stressor.
Yes.
Especially for those who have yet to fully experience traveling internationally, whether that be studying abroad or just going on solo or family trips, it's definitely something that you have to plan ahead for. So yes. Let me look up the specific episodes so I can revert people back to things, specific things. I'm saying I'm a lot. Send help. But where was – you recently went to Israel, correct? Or there was actually somewhere else that you just recently went.
This summer was a little bit, like, even out of character. It was a lot. So I went to Israel twice, Tel Aviv, for work. And then I went to Japan for personal vacation.
Fun.
And then for the WeWork summer camp thing – which is basically, music festival, speakers, all this crazy fun stuff. But it's in like an hour outside of London, in this camp called Erridge Park. And then after, I had the opportunity to travel to Barcelona. So that was all between May and now.
She is a Renaissance woman, ladies and gents who are listening. She has traveled the world and has lived to tell the tale. Our very first episode we did on Pancreas Pals was back season 1, episode 8. It's called Traveling with the Beaties, and that's really where we go into, Christy and I, TBT, had gone into some detail about our personal experiences with that, so definitely would recommend you go take a listen to that. But yeah, so I don't know about you, Alex, but I am a big believer in preparing like it's my job. So I think with
full time,
yes, like I mean, I don't know why I said I don't know about you, because I do know you and I know you're the same way. But when you have a chronic illness that involves medications to keep you alive on the daily, also things that need to be refrigerated as backups or at least kept somewhat cool, it is very overwhelming at first glance to think about all the pieces involved. This sounds so arbitrary, but make a checklist, or once you're a pro at it.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I love making checklists.
I have like a travel list on the ready at all times. And just like, it's a note in my phone, nothing high tech. And I just copy and paste it to a new note every time I'm going somewhere and kind of change it up based on like
customize it.
Do I need a jacket or a bathing suit? But like, I always need insulin, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I set what I'll also do is, because I'm just this level of neurotic, is I'll set reminders on my phone, like 3 reminders the morning or whenever I'm leaving.
Not crazy at all. I have 2 lists, like day of and day before.
Yeah, like, and it's like insulin, you need in all caps.
Yes.
And it's like, don't forget insulin. It's like insulin and ice pack, or insulin and Frio, and like which I'll talk about later. But it's just so, for me, I know at this point usually I'm gonna remember it, even though there was this terrifying time in college. I moved out of my dorm room and was going to New York for the summer, and I left my 2-month supply of insulin in my refrigerator at my dorm, and we were on our way to the airport already, and we turned around and got it, and luckily we made our flight. I still don't know how we did that.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, because we all know how friendly insurance is. Not
like
they were gonna like give you another refill just because you forgot.
I mean,
although they should.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, even though you think you're gonna remember, like, so this could be in, you know, for another podcast. But my apartment burned down. Everyone's fine. We're all fine. We've all moved on. But you know the question, like, you know, if your home's on fire, you take one thing, like. Obviously, as a diabetic, that one thing should be insulin. It was not the one thing. I left a burning apartment with no insulin. Don't do that if you're listening. But yeah, it's very easy to forget.
Honestly, I don't know if I'd think of that either. I'd think of
took my cell phone and my charger.
Yeah. That is the most millennial sentence I've ever heard.
But here was my line of thinking. It was like, I need my phone and it needs to be charged. If I have to go to a hospital and like get a bottle of insulin, I can, but I cannot go and get my phone somewhere else.
Well, also, you're not going to be thinking in the moment, let me grab my life juice right now.
Although my parents were very disappointed to hear that I was not thinking that, but it's fine.
What did insurance do? Did they give you a full refund or full refill?
So I actually was able to go back in the apartment after and
I'm
get it.
I'm truly blessed.
Truly blessed. It was saved by the refrigerator, the only cold spot in the
Thank
home.
God, anyway. For modern technology. That is stressful just thinking of that. I would not. But I mean, worst case scenario is you're without insulin. I think it's important to think about and realize from like, I feel like I'm talking like Miriam right now. Realize that worst comes to worst, you go to a hospital.
Totally.
You know, you like, unless you're in the middle of nowhere, which if you're hiking,
which is
a whole different situation.
Right.
This specific inquiry, words are hard, was about traveling abroad. And I think that means, I took that to mean as like college and going abroad type of thing. So hopefully you're not studying abroad in a remote country in the middle of the mountains somewhere.
When I was in Tel Aviv most recently, my meter broke. Like, I put
casual.
Like, strip, beep, 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 error, strip. Changed the battery in my meter, like, the whole thing. And if you have never been to Israel, listeners, everything shuts down on Shabbat. And this happened to be on Shabbat, of course.
Oh, my God.
Typical. And of course I didn't have a backup meter. Now backup meter is added to the checklist, but I mean, I was in a full-on panic, and it was like 8 a.m in Tel Aviv, so it was the middle of the night in the States. So, but I like called the meter company. They like got disconnected several times. Like, it was just, I was panicked until finally I was like, sorry, mom, call my mom. And that's like one of, you know, I've been kind of trying to put together some travel tips for diabetics. And one of the things that I think is super important is whether it's your mom or a partner or a friend or a neighbor or a manager, whoever you're close to, like have someone at home who's like on the line, you know, tell them I'm going abroad. Here's some things I might need. Like I might call you and get them a bottle of wine and tell them you love them. And mine's my mom. And it was really, really helpful. Like I, you know, had to go to work and, didn't know like what my cell reception would be. You know, my office there is on the 50th floor of a building. Yeah. So like not great cell service and, you know, all this stuff. I ended up again, having someone at home who's rational. my mom was like, well, why don't you go to a pharmacy? And I was like, that is a very good question.
Well, weren't they closed?
I had a few hours. They closed in the evening. So gotcha. I was able to go and they had my exact meter, blessed. But again, like, you know, was in a big city. So, you know, have backups or now, I try to, before I go places, like, are there major pharmacies? Like, how far am I from the nearest pharmacy? Like, where's my hotel or Airbnb, you know? So it just kind of goes back to being prepared and doing, like, a ton of research in advance because you never know what you might need.
I find in high-stress situations or really just anxiety-inducing situations, having a list, having a go-to thing that you can physically go through and check things off is so helpful.
Totally. I totally agree. Anxiety. Even just like the preparation is important for actual, you know, the fruit that it bears. Like you have your stuff. I'm 90 years old. But also, I mean, we all know that being stressed messes up your blood sugar. So
it's even cyclical, people.
It's cyclical. So, you know, I take a ton of snacks every time I travel. Like a ton of snacks and I eat maybe a third of them, but just knowing I have them is so reassuring so that I can have fun, go do the activities, not be in kind of like a panic. So even if it's just kind of like a psychological trick and over preparing, I think it's really helpful just so you can enjoy whatever it is you're doing, even if you take way more stuff than you need.
Exactly. And I mean, it's always worth even having to pay for an overweight bag if you're checking a bag. I mean,
for sure.
I never recommend checking any of your supplies.
Never. Never.
That's, I think, one of our biggest takeaways from this episode is I even brought on my 4-month supply of stuff when I was studying abroad, TBT. I brought it all on a giant duffel bag in my carry-on. And I'm so glad that I did because if my bag were to have gotten lost, that's tens of thousands, if not $100,000 worth of...
Totally.
Not just insulin, which, you know, should always be brought on the airplane with you because of cabin pressure and so many different things that can, I mean, this might be fake news, but I think it's not temperature controlled below. Like, have you ever felt your suitcase right when it comes out of the airplane? Sometimes it's freezing. Sometimes it's really hot. I'm like, really concerned about that.
Yeah. Totally. And so, also something I didn't realize until a few years ago, is that you can ask to pre-board if you're carrying medical supplies.
So, I do. I pre-board.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm always neurotic. Like, I have diabetes. And it doesn't really make sense, but, like, no one questions that shit.
I do it to ensure I have overhead bin space.
Exactly, because they will make you check it even if you got through security. So I think that's just, like, a bigger point of, like, ask for what you need. Like, don't be embarrassed. Don't feel like you're burdening people, whether it's, you know, a flight attendant who's boarding the plane. Say, like, I have to board early because A, B, and C. If you get to a hotel and you don't have a mini fridge, many hotels will, not mini, M-I-N-I, M-A-N-A.
Many.
Texans can't say anything. Many hotels will have a place, if you ask, that maybe they'll allow you to store it or they can bring you a fridge, but they only do it if you ask, right? And so I think you have to make yourself as comfortable, if not more comfortable, than you need to be. And it's okay to ask if you're with friends and they want to go to, like, you know, I found, you know, this certain restaurant that I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what in the world I'm going to eat here. Like, say something, and people who are traveling with you love you enough to, like, get on a plane with you. They want you to feel comfortable and happy. So whether it's a stranger or friends that you're traveling with who just may not get it, like, ask for what you need. I think that's like a hugely important lesson that I didn't learn until after I studied abroad, as well, and was kind of like just physically uncomfortable and nervous for like 4 months.
Definitely.
That just like, fuck what other people, like, if you're worried they're going to judge you, they probably won't. And if they do, they're terrible. So like,
very true. And honestly,
take care of yourself.
The biggest thing is you're always going to be your biggest advocate. You can't rely on other people to read your mind or to, you know, just know what to do or even to help you. Even, you know,
totally.
Everyone's got their own battle to bear. And I'm not saying don't reach out to others for help, because obviously that's what this podcast is about, and community, and, you know, feeling safe and feeling like you are not alone, because 100% agreed on that. But that doesn't mean that you can't advocate for yourself and that you shouldn't, because no one knows your body like you know your body. No one knows what you need like you know what you need. So I think actually this is like a bizarre situation that comes to mind. When I went to Memphis solo, which was really fun, shout out to Brendan Snyder for showing me around. You rock, don't ever change.
Shout out to the state of Tennessee, sort of, maybe. Memphis, Nashville, cool. I don't know what else is going on there.
Alex went to Vanderbilt, for those of you that didn't know.
Go Doors, anchor down.
She's partial to it. But I boarded early because I had trouble before fitting my carry-on in the overhead, because I didn't check a bag because I was only going for like 3 days. And I boarded early, and it was like a really old school jet, and I had to like kind of shove my bag in there, and the flight attendant, one of them, was like, "Oh, you're gonna have to check this." And I was like, "Nuh-uh. I will not do so. Like, this fit on the way down here, it'll fit on the way here, on the way back." So then I had this other really nice flight attendant come up to me, and I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm diabetic and I get anxious about leaving my supplies, like blah blah." She goes, "Oh my god, I'm type 1 and I was like, "What?"
Amazing.
So shout out to you, Brie, for helping me shove that suitcase in. That
where there's a will, there's a way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it is within regulations, then you should not be flying on a plane that is small enough that you're going to make
totally.
A whole check.
Although I did, I almost got kicked off a plane once coming home from school, because my bag was not in regulation, let's be clear. It was, I don't even know how I got through security, but I had all of these supplies in it, and I don't know why. I was coming home for Thanksgiving to my parents' house for like a week, which like they still have backup pump supplies, so it made no sense. I had a ton of supplies in a non-carry-on suitcase, and I just like lost it when they told me I needed to check it. Do not do that. And they're like, "Ma'am, we're gonna have to ask you to get off the plane." And
oh,
it was just
God.
So mortifying. Everyone's just like staring at me, and I was like, "Fine." And I just like grabbed all my supplies and like put them in my backpack, and it was honestly not a big deal. And my overreaction was mortifying, but then
that's amazing.
My
at the same time,
my oh yeah, it was pretty legendary. My dad was obviously pissed when I told him, as like dads of only daughters get when someone threatens them. And he wrote a letter to the airline, and I got a free flight.
Oh my god. And I love how you're like, "I was in the wrong. This was not regulation."
I was in the wrong. But
you know
that diabetes card is real.
You
pull
live
it,
you learn.
Pull it out.
Well, also that panic is real, and for me
it is real. Even if it's irrational, it's real for you. And
yeah,
like, it's terrible, and like the thought that no one else gets it is like a really scary one.
So shout out to Brie, my flight attendant, who truly understood,
who truly gets it.
But yeah, I mean, I was flying, I'm pretty sure I told the story on season 1 episode 8, but I was studying abroad. I brought a normal size carry, it was probably the same carry-on I'm talking about now, but European regulations are a little bit different, but it was
yeah.
It still fit in on the way there is the moral of the story. And I went to Copenhagen, and when I
wait, is that
out,
where you studied abroad?
No, I studied abroad.
Oh, I was
gonna
say that's
London.
Where I studied abroad.
Oh, cool!
That's really weird. If
beautiful
we just
place.
Discovered that.
If you have any listeners in Copenhagen, give us a shout.
Beautiful.
We love your country.
I went to a JDRF meeting there once. The whole
that's
thing
dope.
Was not in English though, but I met some really nice people.
Also, for the record, I know Copenhagen is not a country. I'm saying I love the country that Copenhagen is within. Anyways. I just wanted to clarify that, because as soon as I said that, I was like, that sounds like I think Copenhagen's
geography.
A country. SOS. But they made me check my bag, and they did not budge on that. So I ended up just like shoving as much stuff as I could into my backpack. But I was scarred from that. Like, I thought, because I was just diagnosed 6 months before, and it was just like a snowball series of events that I was like, I had a really bad sinus infection, so my sugars were like all over the place, and I was flying, and I was with a whole bunch of people I really didn't know that well yet, and in this new place where I could not understand anything,
it's a tough
on the
language, signs
or anything like that, because that language is not phonetic, let me tell you. So it was just a series of unfortunate events. Luckily, I ended up being okay, but I was just like hysterically crying because they were screaming at me, and I didn't know what was going on, and I finally calmed down, but like it was a Coldplay song. I was like tears streamed down my face, and I am going through security, and this, I guess they had a man patting me down, which was like a whole different situation in itself. And he was honestly one of the most beautiful Danish men I've ever seen.
I mean, every person in Denmark is.
You're not wrong.
Really, babe. I've never felt shorter and frizzier and more
brunette. Oh my God,
stop.
Your
in my
beauty
life.
And your grace.
Thank you. But I'm
like,
flat,
anytime. Stop.
Five feet
We're
tall.
Moving on. You are 5 feet. You are pretty petite. Anyways, so I'm like sobbing and I'm trying to tell him like that I have a pump on and that like try not to knock it off because like I had never had a man pat me down before. I didn't know if I was getting manhandled. I had no idea what was going on. And he's like looking at me and I'm like sobbing and he's like, did I hurt you? Are you okay?
Oh my God, that's so awkward.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. It's not you. It's Norwegian Air. They yelled at me. Like, it was so bad. And he's like looking at me like, it's okay. It's okay. I'm like, oh my God, I need to get out of here. I made it back, but I learned so many lessons on that trip. Like, it's, trust no ho and do what you gotta do.
Recently, I forgot where I was going, and I like I'm always prepared. I have like if I'm gonna be flying through lunch and dinner, like I will have like lunch and dinner in my backpack. Like I do not assume that there will be food at the airport. So I had this like beautiful meal, and for some reason it didn't pass the test. Like they wouldn't let it through, and I'm just like so upset, crying. Obviously, like default tears. My eyes were watering. No, I was sobbing. And this really nice TSA agent was like, what happened? And I was like, I took my food. Is that? She's like, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. Salad. She literally leaves. I don't know. It was like a moment of panic. She leaves her post at the gate, goes out of the gate, like back to the front, gets me a salad and bought it with her personal money. I don't remember her name, but like if there's any way she's not listening, but like I never felt like I could properly thank her. But yeah, it was literally the nicest thing anyone's ever done. I was like, I have diabetes. And she was like, girl, I got you. And she went and bought me dinner.
Oh my God. One time I had someone be like, I have type 2 diabetes.
And, you're like, don't.
I was like, okay. She's like, I know what you need. I'm like, no, you don't.
No. Oh my God.
No.
Oh,
honey.
God.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah. So I try to keep my cool as much as I can and realize that people are just doing their jobs, but I will be the first one to tell you and admit I do have a little bit of a temper when I'm scared for my well-being.
Oh,
so.
I asked my boyfriend, my most common travel companion, like, sometimes he used to like try to help, and now I think he just kind of like, I know I need to step away now because her head's gonna start spinning.
Yeah,
but it's but he gets like you know when you're scared, like that's a very natural
reaction
response. Yeah,
it's almost like you know it's adrenaline. It's like fight or flight.
For
sure. Literally, it's not like I black out and start like mauling people. I just get you know like really upset, but I hope this episode has brought some clarity, and you know, even though we're telling horror stories, they're par for the course, and they're really not.
You learn from them.
Yeah, they're not as common as you think, or maybe they are as common as you think, but that's why we're telling them so you can learn from them.
Can I just like say a couple other things, like very short, like blurbs?
Yeah.
Okay, so just I think Emily told you I wrote this thing. Maybe like we should post it on the site. But
let's do it.
Just a couple other points. Like in line with being prepared, that's, you know, great. Have your insulin, have your snacks, have whatever. But I mean, the other preparation, like something I do is for every city I go to, I do like a ton of research, particularly around restaurants. And like, you know, I love to eat and I want to eat at like the best restaurants in every city I go to. But like, we all know sometimes like the best restaurants or like the best food may or may not work for us. So I think, you know, I spend hours and hours on like Eater and New York Times and like reading about restaurants and finding places that it's like, this is going to be dope. But like, I know I'm not going to feel like anxious. Like if I eat this, am I going to like freak out? Or like, you know, the other side of that is like, is, you know, eat that amazing food from that country that they're known for, but maybe your blood sugar is going to be a little high. And be like, let's be clear, I'm not a medical professional, Emily. I know this is like Miriam's line. We're not medical professionals, but I mean, that leads to my next point is like, I used to be super uptight, anxious, nervous, which is, as you've heard this whole episode, we'll say 1,000 times, is natural. It's a scary thing. But I think, you know, when you're traveling with diabetes, to the extent you can be careful while still being flexible, just to kind of mitigate some of that anxiety and stress and know that maybe for a couple of days you're going to have jet lag and your blood sugar is going to be off, and just kind of accepting some of that shit beforehand, I think really has helped me to A, enjoy myself, but B, kind of like nip it. You get in that loop where you like can't calm down and your blood sugar won't calm down either. But you know, I think there's also ways when you travel to, stick to your routine as best as you can. Like if you're someone who every morning has coffee and like reads a book, like do that. If you have
just
time,
do it in Paris.
Do it in Paris, and it's going to be way better than wherever else isn't Paris. Or like, you know, I work out in the mornings. I research before. Are there gyms? Are there parks I can go run? I always travel with a jump rope because like you can do that shit anywhere.
that's amazing. I did not
jump
know
rope in like a hotel stairwell, you know. And so just find like if that's something that brings you comfort, and then like find little ways to do it. You just have to plan for it. But it all goes back, I think, to, you know, some balance of being super prepared, not forcing yourself to do anything that makes you uncomfortable just because, like, you think you're supposed to. But, you know, being flexible and trying to stay calm, which sound like, you know, totally opposites. But I think where you can make those things intersect is where you're going to have, like, the best time and enjoy your adventure the most.
Retweets you all of that. And if you are not a big planner, or you're a person that you feel like this doesn't apply to you, maybe not all of it applies to you, but I can say that you will never regret bringing that extra juice box, because
you
that juice box really isn't going to go bad. And if it does, it's going to be a long time from now. And if you're that low, you'll still drink it. So
you will still
think of
drink
it as an investment, and think of all of this as an investment in your peace of mind.
Yes.
And I can't stress this enough. Like, if you're worried about cuisine, if you're worried about time change, if you're worried about temperature, all these things, research it. Knowledge is the best way to assuage mm-hmm. any fears. And I'm not saying go batshit crazy and spend like nonstop time on, you know, on the phone or whatever, trying to figure stuff out. But have a go-to meal that you know the carbs for, mm-hmm. like once a day if you're really worried, or something like that. Or do what I do and play it fast and loose for however long you're away, if it's like only 3 days, and just guess, but be on top of it. Check your blood sugar a lot more frequently.
That's all you can do.
Do the best you can and just be aware of your body and what's around you.
And have fun.
Have a good time.
Oh my God, we're so fun, Em. We're so fun.
We're literally so fun that I just, A, probably had a stroke trying to say literally, and B, finished your sentence.
Wow.
We're so in sync. And I mean that in like very Justin Timberlake kind of way.
Wait, I don't get that reference. Oh, in sync. Oh my God.
I'm going to see myself out now. I've clearly peaked. So
I was like, does he have a song called In Sync? But now I'm ashamed because
I'm dead. It's okay.
I know. We should cut this part out.
Oh my God, no, I'm keeping this in. Everyone needs to hear this. We can talk later. Just kidding. Love you. So for our New York City-based pals who want to be a part of the YLC, which is how I met lovely Alex, who is our vice president of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Young Leadership Committee, question mark? I should really know what that stands for.
Committee.
committee, please join us.
Committee of elders.
Yes, well, we are not elders. Please join us this Thursday at Raise New York City for our YLC happy hour. Alex and I will be there. And if you are trying to be involved at all in JDRF and are considering the YLC community, then we would love to pick your brain and have you join us. Otherwise, join us at our walk team, which is also, this is specifically to New York. So I know we have a lot of Australian listeners. So I'm sorry to all of you listening. This is not applicable. But please join us for that on September 30th as well. You can sign up for our team. There'll be a link really on all of our social media. But thanks again, Alex. You are a true gem.
Thank you for having
MVP.
Me.
You'll be back for another episode soon.
I will be back.
And we're very excited about that. So follow Alex on Instagram if you want more of her amazingness and to see how really she is only like 5 feet tall. I'm not kidding. It's I can't even say it right now.
It's real. It's real.
This is real. This is me and you. It's BBY_AL, right?
That's right, baby Al. Don't wear it out.
And then follow us on Instagram at @pancreas_pals, on Facebook at @pancreaspalspp. We'll be coming at you every Sunday for a new episode while season 4 lasts, which we are in peak season 4 right now. So stay tuned. Plenty of exciting, cool, interesting people to come, as well as many fun co-hosts. So thanks again, Alex, and I'll stop
Thank
talking.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.